Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Beauty Talk. This is your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, October 4th. Just want to let you guys know that our guest tonight was supposed to be Roshar, but his traveling has gotten in the way, actually. He underestimated the timing of his flights, and he wouldn't be able to be with us tonight. So just so that you know, we will try to get him on at a later date. And right
yeah,
now,
he'll actually be on with us tomorrow. I'm sorry, next Sunday.
Next Sunday, okay.
Yes.
So, there you have it. Next Sunday night, Roshar will be joining us. And so I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise, who has Beauty News.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty News. Can you all hear, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right, welcome to the Beauty News. Got quite a few things. One thing I wanted to do, I wanted to start mentioning some products, you know, just some discoveries of some things that I might have come across, you know, here and there. I wanted to start just kind of introducing one or two products or something on a show as I discover them, actually. But first, before I do that, I just wanted to give you a quick PBA legislative update. For the state of New York, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signs nail salon legislation. The Professional Beauty Association, known as PBA, partnered with the New York Governor Cuomo's office in June of this year to address an important initiative, Senate Bill 5966. The bill was recently passed to ensure nail professionals as well as salon owners are fairly represented and aims to promote safe and fair business practices. On Thursday, July 16th of this year, Governor Cuomo elected officials and community leaders gathered in New York to celebrate the official signing of New York Senate Bill 5966 into law. PBA applauds the leadership of Governor Cuomo along with Assemblyman Ron Kim and Senator Michael Venditto for their bipartisan efforts to pass and sign this important bill into law. If you're not familiar with Senate Bill 5966, just do a Google search on that. PBA is proud to have worked closely with leadership to ensure the voices of PBA membership, the law-abiding, fair wage-paying salon owners, and licensing professionals were represented and heard. The law ensures that the sanctity of keeping our industry licensed and regulated, shuts down bad business owners, protects nail technicians from exploitation, and ensures the safety and welfare of all New Yorkers. If you are interested in seeing some type of law passed in your individual states, then please, and you're not sure of exactly how to do that, then please reach out to PBA. And to get more information on PBA's advocacy efforts, you can visit probeauty.org/advocacy or contact Bridget Sharp. She's a PBA government affairs manager, and you can contact her at her email, which is Bridget, and that's spelled B-R-I-D-G-E-T, at probeauty.org. Again, that's Bridget, B-R-I-D, G-E-T at probeauty.org. So that's one for the nail technicians. Okay. Now, a couple of, I wanted to just mention a couple of things that I came across, and one of them was a product called Lash X. So I don't know if you've ever, have you ever heard of that, Lash X? It's a lash cleanse. Okay. When it comes to lashes that last, clients head to Makeup Mandy, a chic West Hollywood salon owned by celebrity makeup artist Mandy, let me see if I can pronounce this, Jacobolis. Her secret to red carpet ready looks is the Lash X method, a technique of lash extension application that provides rich, glamorous eyelashes for 6 to 8 weeks at a time. Our adhesive and lashes are super soft and flexible so that the lashes can move with the hair without putting tension on the lashes. We also make sure our clients are well educated in aftercare because you can do the best lashes in the world, but without it, lashes won't last. In addition to lash application, the salon also features the full line of Lash X products, providing the ultimate in lash care. I'm going to have to check that out and run that across some lash technicians to see if they've actually heard of the product or have actually used the product. That's pretty interesting. I guess with my experience in getting lash extensions, it's so true. I mean, somebody can apply the best set of lashes possible. They can look great. And then, you know, because originally when you hear about lash extensions, that's what you're told. They can last up to 6 weeks. But nowadays, it seems like when you get your lashes done, it's like 2 weeks later, it's like you really need a fill-in. And I'm very good at taking care of my lash extensions. But it just seems now lately, you know, they fall out a little quicker. I don't know. I came across a new book. And when I read this, I didn't realize that she had so many. Makeup artist Ray Morris is coming out with a new book called Makeup Masterclass.
Yes.
You knew that she was coming out with another book?
I did, and I was going to mention that in my part of the news, but go ahead.
Did you realize that she already has 5 books out? Do you have all 5? Because I know you have quite a few of hers.
I think I have about 3 of them.
Yeah, I think I probably have about 2 or 3 myself. So I'm really interested in actually getting this one. Makeup Masterclass. With 5 previous titles to her credit, Ray Morris is an old hand at writing beauty books. Morris has parlayed her experience as a 4-time Australian Makeup Artist of the Year and a makeup director for L'Oreal Paris into Makeup Masterclass, a how-to book on beauty makeup techniques and styles. It doesn't really matter which book you get from her.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty much a how-to, but she does it in a way that I don't know. Her books are done so well, but she does it in a way that it doesn't seem like the type of book that says, okay, this is how you do a smoky eye. It doesn't seem like that
right.
type of book. When you look at it, it's just visually, it's so appealing visually, and it's so well done. Actually, I think I'm going to go pull one of her books off of my shelf after the show. But the book is a reflection of what Morris has learned in her 25-year career. The makeup world has changed since she wrote her earlier books, but she notes that she has learned how to adapt to those changes. An additional reflection of that changing world is the fact that there's an ebook version of the Makeup Masterclass. Now, that's an interesting element to it all. There's an ebook version.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. There's an ebook version of Makeup Masterclass, complete with how-to videos and links to Morris's website. Both versions of the book start with stocking your kit, then move through foundation application, building a makeup and the step-by-step process to creating a variety of looks from natural to what she calls after 5 glamour. Now, reading this actually sounds like something that will be really good for newbies or people just kind of starting out and trying to kind of find their way in the industry a little bit. This seems like a nice book because it starts out with building your kit. So, and that's,
right.
I think that's one of the biggest problems that makeup artists have when they're just starting out is how to build their kit. Some people will go out and build their kit with like one brand and just get everything from that one brand. I was watching a Periscope the other day, and there was a girl on there, and she was She was talking, Melissa Street did a Periscope, and she was working with this makeup artist that she works with a lot. And the makeup artist was talking about how when she started how this girl's kit had nothing but Ben Nye products in it. And how, you know, of course, over time that's changed. But that sometimes as newbies, that's what we do, especially when you're in certain areas and you have, you know, like here in Atlanta, we have Norcosco, which is a costume store, but they sell makeup products. So, you know, mm-hmm. most of those costume stores sell Ben Nye. Or, you know, right. or especially if you have some of these older makeup stores, you know, if there are a lot of makeup artists in town who worked in the theater, you know, they're going to sell products like Ben Nye or Krylon and things like that. So it's good to kind of like mix it up a little bit in your kit when you're just starting out. So that's good mm-hmm. that's a feature of the book. Morris also addresses de-aging, dealing with a time crunch, and how to accentuate a person's best features. So this seems like it's going to be a really good book to have. I can't wait until it comes out. The book actually is going to be released in this month of October. And for more information, you can go to raymorris.com. And Ray is spelled R-A-E, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S.com. And I thought I had... I thought I had one other thing for you all. I did. I'm trying to. Oh, I do. I was interested in something else that I saw, and I kind of wanted to get your feedback on it. But cause to me, it almost seemed like this is what we do as makeup artists anyway. But, you know, to each his own, if you decide that you wanted to be a part of something like this. But Glam on the Go, often referred to as the Uber of beauty, Glam Squad is an on-demand beauty provider that delivers professional, affordable hair and makeup services in Los Angeles, Miami, and New York. In New York, they also offer nail services, hair, makeup, and nail services. They only offer the nail services in New York. But again, it's offered Los Angeles, Miami, and New York, but they offer these services to your home, your office, your hotel, I guess just about anywhere, you know. If you have the app, you can go in the app and request these services in those cities. Giovanni Vaccaro, former senior stylist at Frederick Fekkai, serves as the creative director. In addition to offering personalized one-on-one consultations and a range of signature looks, all stylists and makeup artists are expertly trained and undergo extensive education to further advance their skills. What sets us apart is we offer education, training, and vetting each stylist and makeup artist, expanding on what they already know, said lead artist Eric McEwen. We make sure to give all of our clients the VIP treatment they deserve. Glam Squad plans to extend its services to other major cities in the near future. So I haven't checked to see where the app is offered, whether it's on on like your iPhone or Android. I'm trying to look for my iPad to see if I can search for it. But what do you think about an app like that?
You said an app?
Yeah, they offer these services through an app. So I guess you download the app, and through the app, just like with Uber, how you can request car service. It's the same as you can request hair, makeup, and then in New York, nail services to come out to your home or your office or wherever.
It's just, I guess the app is just pretty much how you would book your service, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Well, I think it's a neat idea. Like you said before you started talking about it, it's really not much different than how mobile makeup artists and hairstylists and nail techs work.
Right.
Or makeup artists, hairstylists, and nail techs that don't consider themselves mobile, but who would do a home visit, or you know, who would come to you. So it's not much different, but I do like the idea.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, and apparently it has to be successful anytime they have it in all these different cities.
Right. Well, to me, like I said, it's no different than what anybody else is already doing. As far as just, you know, like I do services. I can go to people's homes and do makeup or whatever. But I think for people who are in one of those cities and they need that service, and mm-hmm. you know, it'll be something that's well known and most people know about it. But if you're just on your iPad or something and you're, you know, searching through the apps and you kind of come across something like that, then that's great if you're in one of those cities. Hopefully they will expand and it does get bigger, but hopefully the word will get out about the services. So if you're just traveling and you don't really know anybody in those cities, but you need those services, that's a great resource. And then some people are more willing to trust something like that, you know, as opposed to just somebody they haven't even heard of ever. I mean, I know they don't necessarily know the people that are a part of this, but if they have an app, then you kind of feel like the whole production is a little professional.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think you're more willing to try it. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. I agree. You know, especially when it's well, you know, some people don't really care about this, but then some people do care about hiring people that they know to perform certain services.
Right.
Like sometimes, you know, when you go to a nail salon and you don't know any of the nail techs there, you'll sit down with one. If you like them, you'll probably stay with them. So going and getting a nail tech may not be as big of a deal as a hairstylist. You know, mm-hmm. you want your hair done and they send someone, you know, you may be kind of uncomfortable until you can see what the person does. And makeup is kind of, you know, it's kind of in between those two. Like some people don't really care. They feel like if it's a professional organization, they have a bunch of professionals that can do the job, so they're okay with it. But then there's some people who are like, you know, I don't know this person. It may be hard for them to trust, you know, certain people. So.
Right.
But then again, like I said, I mean, they have them in all those cities. They have an app. The person behind this is known for their work. So I think that people are, you know, more likely to trust to utilize the service.
Right. Right. Okay, well, that's all I have.
All right. Well, speaking of, excuse me, makeup books, I wanted to talk about a couple of more. You know, you just talked about Rae Morris. And again, I've been wanting to get her back on the show. She was on the show back in, I think it was 2010, as a matter
mm-hmm.
of fact. I've been wanting to get her back on the show. She is in Australia, so sometimes it's kind of hard to get that scheduling worked out, but I'll do my best to try to get her back on. I really enjoy talking with Rae, and I love all of her books. And again, her book comes out in this month, October. And then as you all know, we've been talking about it for months now, and she's actually been on the show. Everyone knows that Deshaun Hatcher's book is out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another book to kind of...
Right. I can't wait to get that in the mail.
Right.
Wait on that mail.
Lisa Eldridge. She's Lancome's makeup, you know, she's their creative director. And she also writes a column for British Elle. She has a book. And her book is called Face Paint, The Story of Makeup. And it kind of, you know, she works with celebrities and creating looks for fashion shows and advertising campaigns and that type of thing. But her book, you know, includes a little research on the history of makeup, including the reasons for its use, how materials and manufacturing process have evolved over time, and just other things pertaining to the history and new developments and breakthroughs and that type of thing. So that's an interesting book. And I think that's those are the types of books that we all need. Everything doesn't have to be a how-to or a book
right.
full of pretty pictures, you know, but I think we do need those books where we can learn a little bit about the history of makeup and how it was used, how it's used today, and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then there's a book called Art and Makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is by, let's see, who is that by? It's by, and I just, it's just on the tip of my tongue, Lan Nguyen.
Uh-huh.
Realist. It's by Lan Nguyen. And she did art and makeup. And that book talks a little bit about how she became an award-winning veteran of Fashion Week and editorial shoots. And this is pretty good. You know, a lot of times when you have these beauty books out, they're all about, like you said, the how-tos, and then there are some that are focused on, like Deshaun's focused on assisting. You have those who are focusing on, you know, like how-tos for your film, television, and theater, those type of books. But you have the books where, you know, the how-tos I feel like is good for any medium in makeup. But this one, I think it's a good book for those people who are interested in the, you know, the editorials and the fashion weeks and your advertising campaigns, those type of things. I think this book will probably be good for those people who want to focus in those areas.
All right.
I'm trying to go and get all of these books at some point. You know, that's one thing that I love to do. It's funny that I'm talking about this because I was just looking at my bookshelf today with all of my beauty books, most of them mainly makeup books. But I love to collect the books. So look out for those books. And then I wanted to briefly talk about something that we will talk in detail on another show. But I found an article in the Makeup Artist magazine. I'm sorry?
Can I say this really quickly? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it was kind of on the tip of my tongue as you were speaking, but that's something that makeup artists don't do anymore, or some makeup artists have never done, actually. And that's just buying makeup and you know, instructional DVDs and things like that. I mean, I used to love to even just go to trade shows. I used to love going to IMATS just to go to their makeup artist magazine store at IMATS just to pick up, you know, old issues of IMATS that I didn't have, or whatever the latest or greatest makeup book was, especially the makeup books on period makeup, you know, things like that. I just wish more makeup artists now who are just starting out would actually do that. That was it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were talking about picking up old issues of Makeup Artist magazine that you didn't have. Yeah,
because they have instructions in them too. You know, it's not just about the makeup, but they have, you know, even now in Makeup Artist magazine, I love it because there's an article in the latest issue on tattoos, and it's just good to hear. Oh my gosh, it's just good to hear somebody else's take on how they do things.
But not only that, I think there were two different ads for companies who do tattoo transfers, which are companies that I've never heard of, which is good to know because then that's, you know, there's more resources out there.
Right, because you're always considering Tinsley, and so then it's good to have somebody else.
Exactly. So that was good to know. I was going out there on social media and following some of those companies because I'm like, definitely need to have other resources just in case you're in a pinch and a bind and you contact Tinsley and they can't do it for you. So that was good to see. But there was an article in the Makeup Artist magazine, actually, that I just wanted to kind of mention, and we can talk in detail about it on another episode, but they were talking about knockoffs, cosmetic knockoffs, and being, you know, just for beauty and, you know, professionals to be aware of it. And they were talking about some things I never really paid much attention to, and there are a lot of cosmetic lines out there who actually have on their websites areas on their websites where you can contact them if you come across one of these knockoffs and how to report it. MAC is a big one. MAC, Benefit, NARS, Urban Decay, Bobbi Brown Cosmetics. Those were just a few that were named in the article. But some of them were saying to kind of like beware of online retailers who's retailing some of these brands. And then one thing that they said that I didn't pay much attention to is they were talking about, say, for instance, when you go to a cosmetic retailer, they sell different cosmetics lines, and you think that, oh, they're selling the Bobbi Brown and they sell the MAC and the Lancome, that they're just like overstocked or products, or they're products that, that are, you know, they're no longer selling in the line or what have you. But basically they're saying to be careful because some of those stores may be selling products that weren't authorized by the manufacturer. So I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying that in the article it mentioned that at some of the outlet stores, you may find some of these well-known brands there, but they haven't been authorized by the manufacturer. And so,
Are you saying that these products are actual products of these companies, but these stores are just not authorized to sell them?
That's what the article said, but also
You're not saying that those are knockoffs.
Well, the article didn't say in detail. It just said that some of these products are offered for sale at these outlets and are not authorized by the manufacturer. So I don't know if they're the real thing and not authorized. That's what I assume. If they're saying that it's not authorized by the manufacturer, then it has to be the real thing. But the article is also making mention in particular of knockoffs.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I've seen people. You could go some places and you can have people come into like different places of business selling that MAC stuff, like, you know, the MAC products and stuff, which I've always found it to be ridiculous.
Exactly. And then, like I said, they talked about online retailers, like some of the smaller websites, and they even talked about flea markets.
Mm-hmm.
Selling these, you know. And it's funny I've been to a couple of flea markets and have seen like MAC, and you know, it made me wonder because I'm like, what is MAC doing here? It's the same as if you go to a flea market and you saw Gucci. Now
You
already know if you go there, it's a knockoff, and if it's real, it's stolen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to license, you know, vendors at a flea market to sell, you know, things like Gucci and that kind of thing. So it's a big article, but it's something that I definitely want to talk about in detail and set aside, an hour of a show to do so in a future episode. Because I think it's something definitely you need to be aware of. And they even talk, the big issue here is, for the beauty industry to be aware, because if it's a knockoff, it could, you know, present some type of health risk because it may include some ingredient that's not supposed to be there, or something that's, you know, high levels of aluminum and levels of bacteria, they said, were also found in some of these knockoffs. So that's the big concern for the beauty industry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never even thought about that, actually. But, I mean, I've never even thought about buying knockoff products, though.
Right. And, you know, it's almost like, how do you know it's knockoff? Because check this out. Someone has told me once before that they bought a Coach bag. You know how Macy's sells? Guy came into a hair salon selling Coach bags, sold it for, you know, like maybe half the price of a Coach bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she got home, she started looking for it in the catalog or something, and then she realizes, okay, this is not real Coach. So she took it to Macy's and returned it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and they accepted it. She got her money back and went on about her business.
She got more money back, actually.
Probably so. So you were saying that, you know, you never thought about buying any of this. So my thing is, how do you know what you're really buying? Now, you probably wouldn't know, maybe, but somebody in a Coach store would know their product. And that's the reason why she didn't take it back to the Coach store. But the people at Macy's took the bag and she went on about her business. And so that's my thing. It's like some of these knockoffs, you may not even be able to tell if it's real or not. When it comes
well,
to
the I mean,
makeup.
the fact that somebody's walking into, did you say a hair salon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fact that somebody's walking into a hair salon with this stuff, to me, would say don't buy it. Either it's a knockoff, and if they get caught selling the knockoff, they can go to jail. You can go to jail for buying it. And if it's stolen, you know, if it's found out that it's stolen, you know, it can be taken away from you. So why even bother? If it
mm-hmm.
didn't come, if you didn't purchase it at Macy's or you didn't purchase it from, you know, the Coach store, then just don't purchase it at all. I'm not going to make purchases like that at a hair salon. No,
well,
if I'm not getting my,
you're not going to make those purchases. I'm not going to make those purchases, but there are going to be some people out there because it's a great price and they know what the real Coach price is. They're going to go and pay and buy that. And they don't care if it is a real Coach and it's stolen, or they don't care if it's a knockoff. They think it's just a good, great price, and they're going to want it. So there are going to be a lot of people out there who will buy that.
Of course.
The
of course.
Thing about
and they
it
have,
is,
and they have to deal with the consequences if it's found out. So.
Oh, well, absolutely. But the bad thing about it is that when she returned that purse to Macy's, it's about imagine the next person to come in and purchase that purse.
Right.
They have a real Coach and they have a fake Coach. And it's the same thing with the knockoff, you know, makeup products. What if somebody did buy something from MAC and then was able to return it, you know, that it looked so much like the real thing and they returned it, and then later on somebody purchased that from the MAC store. So those are things that you have to pay attention to. You really do.
Well, it's amazing to me how people are able to return these things without a receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, some of these stores, that's their policies now. They'll take anything back. Like Macy's
yeah.
is one of those stores. They'll take anything back, even without a receipt. You know,
right.
I don't know if they'll get a store credit or whatever, but,
Right.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. So knockoff beauty products, knockoff cosmetics is definitely something to talk about in a future show.
Yes, definitely.
So, and again, we wanted to mention to those of you who are listening, coming up in November, right after Thanksgiving, our schedule, the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, actually, our schedule, our work week schedule will change to Sunday through
Thursday,
with Friday and Saturday off. So for a couple of weeks, we will change the schedule of the show to either a Friday or Saturday. So we want to kind of hear back from you guys as to what you guys would like. You think you would like to have the show on Friday, or you think you would like to have the show on Saturday? And right now, everybody's saying Friday. I had a couple Saturdays, but more Fridays than Saturdays. So,
keep in mind, this is not ongoing. This is just temporary for, like, you know, probably about 3 weeks or so. So this is just going to be temporary for about 3 weeks, and we're going to do our best to change the days on the show. You know, depending on what kind of guests we can get for those on those days. So just keep in mind that we are interviewing, you know, working makeup, hair, nail folks. So we got to do the best to get a guest on those busy work days. So you know, we're going to, I guess, shoot for Fridays and try to plan ahead now to see who we can get coming up.
Absolutely. And again, next Sunday, Roshar will be with us next Sunday. And we have a lot of interesting guests coming up, but we'll make announcements about that next week. But stay tuned and continue to follow us. We have a lot of exciting shows coming up. And
yes.
You want to tell them where to follow us on social media?
Sure. You can follow us on Facebook. We're at Beauty Talk Online Radio. I'm sorry, I was about to give you our Instagram. But we're Beauty Talk Online Radio. And then on Instagram, we're at Beauty_Talk_Media. And on Twitter, we're at Beauty_Talk.
All right. All right, that's great. Let's see, I think we did. Hold on. see, we have 10 minutes left. I wanted to bring a caller on really, really quickly. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
It's Nan Zinga.
Hey, Nzinga.
How are you, dear?
How are you? Good.
I just caught your message at the last minute. I didn't know you were,
you know, something here is going on, I think, with Blog Talk Radio, because when you want to speak, you're supposed to, there's an option that you're supposed to push so that we can see that you want to speak. So I'm glad I saw your text message because I didn't know that you were on the line.
Yeah. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am battling a cold, but I'm good.
I've got
a huge and busy set schedule this season. It's crazy.
Good.
Yes, it's a great thing. I'm working between two TV shows, and wow.
can you tell us what TV shows you're working on?
Well. I've been day playing between Power.
Yes.
Ooh, nice.
which is on the Stars Network, and then mm-hmm. I've been on a new show called Billions.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, Billions is a new show. They just got picked up for a season, so we're shooting the first season. That will be Showtime.
Oh, Showtime. Oh, okay.
When you
the next time you go back to Power, can you tell Notori that Denise and Janice from Let the Church Say Amen said hello?
I sure will. Once I get past looking at Omari. You know, can I tell you, it's the craziest thing. All of my friends, whenever I say, you know, I'm doing a couple days on Power, and they're like, oh, my God, can you take a picture with...
I know. Everybody loves Omari.
It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing, but it's been a great time. It's been really, really busy. I also did a couple of days on a TV show called Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've heard of that.
Yeah. That's on the Fox Network. So,
yeah.
I've been day playing.
Say that again?
I've been day playing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been kind of bouncing around a few places, which is good.
Yeah. Well, there's
Power,
a freedom in day playing.
Yeah, it really is.
It is. There is. So Power has started already, or it's getting ready to start?
Oh, no, they started,
well,
right?
They started, you know, they're showing their I don't know if they've already shown the second season, if it's airing already. Okay,
yeah,
well, it's already airing, but,
the second season has actually ended already.
Oh, it ended already. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it ended back in August.
Okay.
Well, so
we're shooting the third. Yeah, we're shooting the third season.
We're anxiously awaiting the third season. Do you have any idea when it'll come back?
I have no idea. I'm just in day playing, doing my thing, banging out the makeup.
Hey, we love that.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah, because that's definitely like one of my favorite shows. I really love the Stars Network, and so I'm glad we actually have a show on Stars Network, Survivor's Remorse. And I just love Stars. You know, it's like years ago when I had Stars, I was like, what is this? What is this? You know, what kind of station is this? Because you never really knew what they were about. But now they have such great shows. You know, people
are actually great programming.
Yeah.
Great programming.
And speaking
great
of Stars, 50 Cent, who is one of the executive producers on Power, has inked a deal with Stars to do more original programming with that network.
Yes, he has.
I heard that. I read that in Variety magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great deal. And I think, you know, what's really interesting, I was reading an article not too long ago about black directors and female directors in particular with Variety Magazine and how some of the shows are failing, but most of the shows are number one on the charts. I mean, look at what Shonda Rhimes is doing. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. So TV is getting it's getting really exciting. Storylines are actually coming back. Yeah,
yep,
they're making
a
comeback. I think reality TV, you know, people are kind of done with it because it's boring. It's the same thing over and over again.
But you know what I've noticed? Like, just especially when I first started in this industry, I always thought, oh God, I want to do film. That's really what I wanted to do. And that's what I did for a majority of my career was film. And then, you know, of course, all of this work started coming to Atlanta, and they started bringing a lot of television shows. And so, you know, I started working more and more on TV. So it's like now I can't buy a film to work on, you know. But the thing about it is this. When you look at what's going on in the movie theaters, there's not much going on. There's nothing really exciting going on in the theaters. Everything is happening on television. And television has been keeping us afloat. It's been keeping us working, you know. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I think what's happening, too, what I'm seeing is a shift in how the celebrities, you know, the celebrities that were doing majority film are doing TV shows.
Yep.
I mean, look, you've got your huge names all on TV.
Almost putting the television actors out of work.
Yeah. Because it's different.
Yeah,
it's different.
Exactly.
You know, TV people are different. You know, the schedule, how they move is very different from film.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very interesting to see. It's exciting. You know, you've got TV programs that are number one, like Scandal and Empire. And, you know, all of these people came from film.
Right.
You know, they've done major motion pictures, so they bring a whole other element to the game of TV, and it ups the ante, which is why I think the shows are doing so amazingly well, which is great for makeup artists because, you know, there's a plethora of looks that are being cranked out now because each character is different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I'm looking at this show, it's a new show called Blind Spot, and for the life of me, I'm really trying to figure this out. How is the makeup artist doing all of that body work? The girl's body is covered in tattoos. Now, I'm saying to myself, you know, for continuity's sake...
Yeah.
You know, how would you do that every single day? Do they have the tattoos on a bodysuit? Is she wearing a sheer bodysuit? Like, how is that working? I'm just really curious. Really curious about that one because that's a lot of work. You know, and like I said, for continuity's sake, you know, you have to have the same exact tattoo in the same exact place. You know, in the same scene that we're recreate. I mean, like, that's crazy work.
Yeah.
That's crazy work. That's a lot of work for a makeup artist. So I'm just curious how that particular makeup department is working that show.
Wow.
That's true.
Yes, it's a big one.
You bring up a good point because I know the movie. I think they're supposed to do the. I forget what it's supposed to be called, but basically, it's a movie about Tupac and his life, and you know, I forgot how many tattoos he had.
He was covered.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to get somebody. I forget the guy, the actor. Okay, I don't know if you Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm the only one in America that has.
No, my sister hasn't either. So. But the guy that plays Tupac in Straight Outta Compton is the guy who's supposed to play Tupac in this movie. And From what I understand, like I said, I think Tupac had over 30-some tattoos. So can you imagine, and you know, the thing is, you can't just put, you just can't, let's just say, take whatever tattoos the guy has now and just throw some other tattoos on there and say they're Tupac's tattoos. No, they're very specific tattoos that, you know, like you said, you got to, they go in a certain place. You got to be able to place them in certain, you know, certain places on his body. Now, how in the world are they going to do that? That I would love to see. It's basically
pretty much what you're talking about. I think what they do, because I know when I did the cover of Interview Magazine with Lil' Kim, we did the Louis Vuitton, and that was, you know, that was like 6 hours of airbrushing on the body, and we had stencils, and, you know, it wasn't just me. It was, you know, three of us working on the body. You know, when you have body work that you're doing like that, you want to make sure that the skin is clear and smooth, you know, like you have a smooth canvas to work on. So if you've got someone who's got spots all over their body or they have other types of tattoos, you're going to have to cover, you're going to have to do cover work first. And then you do, you know, whatever tattooing you're going to do, you know, like, I don't do it often anymore, but, you know, you make sure the body is smooth. You know, if you have stencils, maybe they're doing stencil work. I don't know how it works for them, but you would do the stencil for the tattoos, and they're specifically designed for you. You know, you go to an artist and you have them laser cut it and all of that, so that your tattoo is accurate, and then you can place it wherever you want to place it, and then you airbrush. But I don't know, like I said, with, you know, doing body work like that and dealing with an artist who already has tattoos on it, you're going to have to cover that old tattoo to create a new tattoo.
And so, then the question is, what do you cover that tattoo with?
Well, you know, you've got your illustrator, you've got all kinds of airbrush makeup now that can cover, you know, cover the body. Danair makes it, Rocksovia makes them, Tattoo makes airbrush. Anybody who's airbrushing, you know, you can get that, you can cover the body. You can do a complete coverage on the body.
Well, my whole thing is, how do you get that tattoo covered and then get it to not lift when you're trying to do the tattoo over it? Because sometimes I find the illustrator, although, you know, we think it's great for covering tattoos, sometimes it's just not like I feel like you have to allow illustrator to dry completely. And sometimes it's like, just don't have that time.
Most of the technique that's usually done when you're covering those kinds of tattoos, I mean, you think about it, your color theory comes into play. So if you're having to deal with most of the tattoos, they're blue-black in their nature. So on that type of skin, you basically, to cover blue and neutralize blue, you're always going to go in with an orange or peach tone first.
Right.
And then you're going to, you know, and you have to let that dry. And then, you know, you go over it again with, you may have to do another pass with that. You know, I usually airbrush when I have things like that. I don't do hand paint anymore because it just takes way too long. But then you have to do another pass. You know, do as many passes as you can just to cover that up. And then you do their natural, whatever their natural skin color is. And you do have to let it dry. I mean, I think all of them are like that. You can't skimp on the dry time.
Right. Like you know, really have to give it enough time.
Yeah, you have to allow for time. You definitely have to allow for time. And then, you know, it's possible. You know, and then what may happen in some instances is they may have to cover it in post.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you never want, back in the days, you never wanted them to just do a retouch. You know, you
right.
wanted your makeup to be perfect all the time so that if they did have to touch, then it was, like a miracle kind of thing. But the
right.
technique was so vision back in the day. Now, people can go in and do crappy makeup, and then they're covered by post completely, so they look like they're brilliant makeup artists.
Right.
So, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of changing in the makeup, in the technique and application of actual makeup. I think it's completely different now than what it was, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And the
right.
products themselves have changed, I think, more than anything. So because the products have changed, the way that a makeup artist applies the makeup becomes different as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it's very interesting time for makeup. I think there's so many brilliant things happening and opportunities that are happening. But like I said, I think the breakthrough in technology has pushed the envelope for creating better products, more innovative products.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forcing makeup artists to kind of take a look at their technique as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that you can have a basic technique that works for you because, it's like a fingerprint.
Right.
Everybody has a different technique that works for them. But with the escalation of how the technology of makeup, because before, you had acrylic as a base for some foundations and those things. Now it's becoming silicone, and now it's becoming gel, which is more, everything is leaning more towards looking like skin. Because you have, before, when HD first came in, oh, my God, mm-hmm. It was a nightmare. So many makeup artists were getting fired because, the camera was seeing the layers of makeup, and they hadn't perfected it. It wasn't about the makeup artist technique per se, but the fact that the makeup itself, the product itself, didn't lend to what was happening with HD. And now they've got this 4 HD, which is an even higher grade than
4K.
First AD. Yeah, the 4K. It's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a makeup artist, you're having to constantly upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Which means upgrading your technique and upgrading the products themselves.
Right.
Because you can apply makeup very well, and the technique that you have may be a great technique, but if the product doesn't match the technique and the technology, then that's where the problem begins with makeup.
Right. Right.
I look at older movies now, on the new HD TVs, and it's horrible. It's horrible. You can see people's pores.
Right.
and at the time, the makeup was fantastic. I looked at Batman, and I was like, oh, my God, the old Batmans. And I was like, oh, my God, Catwoman's makeup was incredible. But now you look at it on HD film, and you're like, oh, my God, that's horrible. But it's not that it's horrible or the application was horrible. It's just the quality of the film is different.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nzinga, I want you to set aside some time to come back, and we're going to set aside a whole hour to talk about this exact topic.
Oh, great. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to. And I also, I also want to plug my blog and make sure that whoever's listening has an opportunity to check out my blog. I talk about these different topics on there. I just got an iPad Mini 4, so, I'm feeling my oats right now. So, I just recently wrote an article about apps. Like, there are so many apps that are really, really helpful to our industry.
Mm-hmm.
There's one app in particular, like when you're going on set, it's called Rap Time.
Mm-hmm.
And how you have to fill out your time card and all of that business. And it gets really complicated when you start doing the mathematical things. This app just takes care of everything for you.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about it. And there are a couple apps that are like that, but this one I find is the best one. But
this one is on your iPad?
This is on my iPad and on my iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's another one. I forget what it's called. I think you can only get it on the iPhone and not the iPad. So this one is called Rap Time.
Yeah. Well, the way that it's designed, they need to update it. I sent them a letter about it. You need to update, boo-boo. But, but it's a great app to have. The way that it's formatted, it just needs a little updating, to be current. But it works on both your iPhone and your iPad. But I talk about all of those apps and stuff in one particular post on my blog. So you can get all of that information there for artists. And the blog is theglamsquadfiles.com.
All right. So we'll be in touch with you probably sometime this week after we finalize a couple of other shows to find out what Sunday you can come on. But I want you to talk a little more about it.
Yeah, catch me on the weekend because these weeks, Tommy, I have been holding on. I love it, though. It's fantastic. I mean, this is what we do. It's our industry. Either you love it or you hate it.
Exactly.
If you hate it, get out.
That's right.
Yep.
And if you're new and you think it's always going to be roses and flowers, honey, snap out of it.
Yeah. Snap out of it or you get out. Yeah, or you get out.
Okay, or you get out.
Yeah. Hardly ever roses.
No,
that's right. Take off your rose-colored glasses. that's the other thing is that we have, makeup artists have to be a lot smarter and a lot more savvy in this time frame that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think I said this before on a previous show that I was on with you all, that it was once a gated community. And only a certain elite type of makeup artist were able to come in. And now you've got an influx coming in, and they're new and they have fresh ideas, and that's always great. But how they handle their business and how they move in this has shifted the way that our industry is looked at.
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they have to be a lot smarter than what they're doing, because what it looks like right now is desperation.
That's
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll just take this job. I need the money. You have to be wise. And sometimes it means, you don't know how to negotiate. You have to learn how to negotiate. Because that's a major aspect of what we're doing. How else are you going to get paid?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like, you can't do an 8-hour day for $150.
Right.
You know, but, like, there are people who are doing it.
Oh, exactly. But that's what ruins that's what's ruining the industry now, and it's ruined it for everybody else, because people are going around doing that. And then if you give a rate of, I don't know, let's just say you give a rate of, I don't know, $600 to $800 or something.
Which is normal.
Which is normal. They're going to look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there was a time, and this is where etiquette comes in, and there has to be an understanding about how this works. You know, when you're not smart or savvy about your business, you have to realize here's where, you know, you were saying earlier, you wish that more makeup artists would do their homework.
Yes.
The homework also is not just about how cute you can make somebody, how great your makeup is. There's also the business side of it, which says, you know what, the pioneers did what they did, asked for what they asked for, so that we could get to a point now where all the makeup artists can come in and ask for a certain rate and get that. Anything underneath that would be beneath what we're doing. If your day rate is underneath, and this may sound crazy to somebody, but think about it. When you have your kit rental, what we do now, the kit rentals, those kit rentals are an insult. Really? That's just transportation. It's transportation money.
They're an insult, but you know what? Eventually, I believe they're going to go away. So we have to keep fighting for them, even if it is $25, $35, $50.
Yeah, we have to keep fighting for it. But before, kit rentals were, you know, the rate was much, much higher. It was in the hundreds.
Oh, much higher. Much higher.
Okay. So now what I say is your day rate should not be really, I mean, your kit, your makeup kit, runs in the thousands. Think about it. You purchased your kit, the bag itself. You got makeup brushes. You've got the makeup itself. You've got lipsticks. You've got all these things that are in your kit, and that's like over $5,000 that you're walking with on a daily basis. So if you're asking for $200, what is that covering? What does that cover? I say it should be at least your day rate should be at least a third of what your actual kit is. Expense-wise, because if you do an inventory list, you'll know how much everything costs. And if you break it all down, maybe it comes up to $5,000. But if you get a third of $5,000, well, what is that? Then to me, that's a comparable day rate.
Right.
Minimum. So if you're asking for anything other than that, you're selling yourself short. And you're selling everybody else short.
Definitely.
So it's something to talk about. It's something to think about. You know, for us to marinate and converse about and really get to the heart of it and really help the younger makeup artists to come through and understand this.
Right.
So that we can really change this dynamic. Because makeup artists are an integral part of any photo shoot.
Yeah, true.
So we're very valuable.
That's right.
And especially if you're doing celebrity work, because just not the average person can come in and do celebrity work. You know, there has to be something about you as a person, as an artist, that makes you different, that puts you in the presence of these kinds of people.
Right.
Something is vitally different. I mean, I could be wrong. What do you think?
I agree. I definitely agree with you.
It's you know, it's a skill. You have to be excellent at your craft, because think about all of the makeup artists any celebrity has been with. They've been with the best. They've probably seen some bad ones too, but they've been
with the
best.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to say.
You know? Yeah, I had to watch that one. Like,
yeah. I was like, I don't know about
that. Yeah, we've had some bad ones too. But yeah, but for the most part, you know, they've worked with, you know, a lot of brilliant people.
Yeah, for the most part, they have been the best.
You know, until you find a groove, because you've got to get into a groove with a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're doing celebrity work, and that just means, you know, it doesn't just mean that they like your makeup. There's something about you that they like, that they're comfortable
absolutely.
With, that they trust you, that, you know, you're going to give them exactly what they need.
Exactly.
So it's there's a specific dynamic that happens there. I know this is all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's good, though. It's good. We thought we were about to sign off the show.
Yeah, I mean, we're off. I mean, it's flying now, but.
Okay.
But when they go back to listen to it, they'll hear the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. So it wasn't a waste of time then.
Kind
of jumped all over the place, but it was good.
But you know what? Some of the stuff we should repeat, though, when we get you on.
Yeah.
The show, we can definitely repeat it, because it's definitely necessary.
Yeah. Well, I think because it's been a topic that so many of us, you know, as I'm day playing on these shows, I'm hearing from other makeup artists who've been in the industry for years, years and years, and they're saying the same exact thing. Everybody's saying the same thing. So if we're all saying the same thing, then there's something to this.
Right.
Something to this. And we have to do something about it, not just talk about it. But once we finger on the pulse of what it actually is, then we can move on it. But the industry is different.
Yeah.
is different. The way we're working, I mean, there was a time where you had to have a portfolio, like a physical portfolio. Now you don't have to have it. Now everything is, you know, you have a website or you have Instagram. I don't know how Instagram is a portfolio, but.
Oh, God, that's another
conversation. People are getting work from Instagram. Aren't they? I mean, I could be wrong. Is that right?
Some of them are, but.
I don't know how that works. I mean, I guess if you put your phone number up there or your website on your main page, then I guess people contact you from there. But it's just, you know, people have to be more savvy. I think the more mature and the more seasoned makeup artists have to be up with the times and be savvy, because, you know, we're the ones. The industry, film and television, is not welcoming to just anybody. You know, nobody can just come off the street and do a major motion picture. That doesn't happen. So it's still kind of a smaller thing, where the whole freelance industry, anybody can come in. Whether they're professional, whether they're seasoned or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different. But film, television, union type of work is still very small. you know, and you have to have a certain skill, level of skill to be in the union still. So, yeah, that's it. I made my peace.
Well, thank you so much. We will continue this conversation, though, in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, let me know. I'm around. I'm here. I'm in New York.
All right.
Until the wheels fall off.
That'll be a while.
It'll be a long while before they fall off.
Exactly.
Years and years and years.
Well, thank you for picking up the phone. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again, and we will talk really, really soon.
Yes, yes. This was a great chat. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, until next Sunday, we'll see you all again. Have a wonderful week. Have a good week, Nzinga.
You too. Signing off.
Yes. Have a good night.
Okay, great. Have a good night, my love.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.